Fun's all over. I call the meeting to order.
Yes, sir.
Just joking about the fun.
Thank you, Aegis, for being here. Where did we start?
Well, the last time we met, one of the things you wanted to see was the product that we had provided for phase one of our contract, which was the existing land use designation, where we went out and looked at the 530 parcels that had the multiple assessments and broke down the parcels into approximate areas of different uses. What Deborah has up here right now is the northern part of the county. Right there is 65 going north. Looks like that's the last exit maybe before you get up into, was it Christian County?
Yes.
Is that 176?
That should, looks like 176 right over the, yeah.
To the left.
Yeah.
To the left. And I think that parcel, that northern parcel, had some commercial on the front, looked like an abandoned...
there had been a car...
There's a gun shop there now, and
yeah.
It used to be a reception area for weddings and things like that.
Been a lot of different...
Yeah. But there is
do we want to start with this parcel, or do we want to start stepping back with the is this...
Well, what I was just doing this as background because we tried to talk about this last time, and nobody had seen what we had given to Patsy. So I
right, and so we now
this.
Have that the map that you gave to Patsy.
We have that, which is
that
is this
right,
which is more information. Of course, we're showing the aerial photos, and the parcels are hatched rather than just outlined, and so we can start wherever you want.
Well, I mean, first thing how I thought we left it was we were trying to come up with these classes, subclasses. I think you guys came to us with a bunch of suggestions. It was 16, 20,
right.
Whatever,
right.
Classes. Then we told you to go visit with Eddie and maybe...
And Frank.
To kind of get it narrowed down to a workable number that is... meets Taney County versus the city of.
Right, right.
And then I think that's when we came back with this new list.
Yes, yes.
And that's what I after looking at this, I was very satisfied with that from my aspect of it's enough classes that we can get some separation in there, but it's also, if we don't want to, we can leave it pretty vague on certain areas of the county.
Right.
So I wouldn't say vague, it's just we don't have to be that specific. Based off of that.
Right.
Okay. So.
We did meet with Frank and Eddie, went through the document that we had given you before.
Right.
And sort of compared it to the Taney County Development Guidance Guide.
Right.
Guidance Code. And there were several discrepancies.
Right.
Obviously. And Eddie pointed out the ones that were obvious to him. I went back and made those changes and also tried to go through there and take the setbacks and lot size information from your guidance code and put it into this document.
Okay.
Where, you know, this document is based on a combination of Buchanan County and Greene County.
Okay.
So... they have completely different requirements.
Right.
So I was trying to incorporate yours where I could. One of the things, one of the main things that Eddie had pointed out was in the agricultural areas, well, of course you don't have agricultural, but the lots could be broken down without doing a lot split. If a family owned a tract of land, they could build another house on that tract without creating a new parcel, as long as you had 2 acres for each one.
Okay.
Up to 2 residences per tract, as long as it had the ability to be split. But
right.
Also with the understanding that after the second residence was on there, you couldn't have any more unless there was...
Right. After the second residence, you needed to go into a full subdivision, which included... roads per the county standards,
right,
and individual lots for the individual houses. So those those things were incorporated into this.
So, before we go further, Eddie, are you comfortable with these districts that they've created?
Yes, sir. I think they give us a lot of...
You guys getting close to the microphone. We had more, but
next to Danny.
I've got a chair here if you want to hang out with me.
That's okay. I'm just here to kind of...
They're going to shoot one. They'll get you all. So.
I think this gives us a lot of definition in the county as they're fleshed out, and I know that Aegis has used some other counties to do that. I think there's some issues as far as fleshing these things out completely
right.
And what's allowed and some things like that, which we'll get into. But as far as the districts...
You're good with the districts.
I think so.
I think we're going to take baby steps here and make sure that we're comfortable with what... I mean, I'm just going to tell you guys, Larry and Joe, I haven't spent hardly any time going through the code book itself.
Sure.
I was more focused on the districts, making sure... I mean, because there's the things that we've got to talk about, which is, do we get the P&Z board now involved to start working on this recommendation or this... first draft before we even get involved.
Yeah, they have.
So, I mean, really is the next time a work session with Aegis and P&Z during the next work session, next board meeting, things like that. But I guess my first thing was I'm comfortable with these districts, and I don't know if we need to just make a motion that we're moving forward with those districts.
We really can't move forward with
Thank you, Mr. Paul.
You can't really move forward with the districts, so a vote to do that would have no effect.
Okay.
At least not a legal effect. There's a procedure set forth in the statutes, and I don't have the statutes with me, but any time that you're going to set up a zoning map or make some zoning changes or implement something like this, they talk about doing actually, and I don't know whether it would be required in this circumstance, but actual meetings in the... different townships. I don't know if you have to do that or not.
And we've talked about that. Yeah. I mean, that's further down the steps. However, any
ordinances that you would pass would be recommended first by statute by the Planning and Zoning Commission or Board, and then it would come to you for approval. So it should start there. I mean, anything that you say, it just, yeah, okay, preliminarily, we're fine with what you're doing. Bring it to the Planning and Zoning Board and have your, hearings or whatever. And when it gets to us, we'll approve it
Okay.
We don't seem to have a problem with it right now. It's basically what you're saying.
What I'm saying is I'm good with that, but I'm not. Okay, so no motion because P&Z's got to come forward with the recommendations. And
Bob, I think that's exactly what we're wanting to do is just get a general consensus at this point because we don't want to take something to P&Z. If
it's not going to get approved when it gets back here.
Right.
Right.
But if they in general agree that these are probably what we need, then we can go to P&Z and do the public meetings.
Yeah. What about the issues, Eddie, you brought to me when we was visiting over there?
We've divided up agricultural into what we call a large farm and then like a hobby farm or a small farm and everything like that. Depending on how you flesh these out with your requirements and different things like that, because you definitely will have to define both or there's no use having the two divisions, what's allowed in that and everything like that. So depending on how you choose to flesh those out, we'll determine how these actually fit and what can be done in them. As they've done a preliminary on that, saying, here's what we see in A1 or here's what we see in AR, whatever the case might be, with what's on the document that I have, there are some issues that I just don't think as a county that you want to head that way.
That's part of why we want you and the P&Z board to look at. I mean,
there were things in here that, like on your smaller farm, it stated that you can have so many units of animals and everything like that, which is a good thing. I think that's is a good thing.
Well, it's not going to be perceived as a good thing.
Right, but they said a cow is one unit, a horse is one unit, but it's five pigs make a unit, some things like that. 100 chickens make a unit, and it's one unit per acre, And then as you go down through there, it says that these animals being raised are only for not-for-profit type situations. And if you're running your family farm and you're raising 20 head of cattle, you're probably going to want to sell those for a profit.
If I may make a suggestion, let's not even go down the path of limiting or putting numbers on livestock. We've had a CAFO battle here a few years back, and it's going to sound to a lot of people like a CAFO. Not a good place to go. You go there, you're going to have trouble.
And I don't know if that's where you're headed today. We're just saying that's some of the things that they fleshed out in here. So,
and you've got to remember what we're trying to achieve. And I think Eddie and Bob knows this. We're, and for Aegis, what we're trying to do is get our P&Z code book within a legal, a less challengeable area, such as our neighboring county. And to go to that extreme would be... That's somewhere we don't.
It sounds to me like you're just trying to deal with are these good districts or not? I think they are.
Districts, and make sure the code book is pretty tight. But we don't want to start limiting.
And just depending on how you want to define those areas, you know, if there's not some definition like in your AR and your A1, between the two, there's no use having both of them.
Right.
So
we just got your board can work on, but. You understand, I mean, you're bringing up suggestions, and that's what, I mean, I think we all agree, I'm speaking for everyone, but we don't want to get into this, down that road at all.
And that's, I just wanted you to be aware that, you know, that's in here, some stuff like that, so, but the districts themselves, I think, are okay, but depending on how you define them, may determine whether you have all these districts or you have less.
So I guess at this point, the next stage is really Aegis spending more time with P&Z and getting those defined and working out work sessions and all that. Is that correct? Is that how I understand it?
Our board would need, before you can, I guess, go too much further, our board would need to probably review these documents.
Sure.
And come back with their suggestions and then say to you.
No, we haven't really, at this point, we've now got to this point, we really haven't spent any time with the board to say what we're doing. Would it be good for us to be at the P&Z board to make a little presentation? Would it be good for Aegis to come and present and say, here are the documents for your review? What would be the best way?
I've kept them a little bit informed,
sure.
and I gave them a copy of the contract that you have, because we had several people asking us about that, and there was a couple of things in the newspaper about it. So they have had that. I would suggest, if it's okay with you guys, that we go ahead and give them a copy of what we've got at our next meeting, which is Monday night. And then give them the opportunity to go over that. And if we want Aegis to meet with them or whatever, then we do that the following Monday.
I believe Aegis now is, you're permanent here now. I mean, your office is here and you're a man in the office every day, Joe. So they're much more available than...
Yes. We'll give them the opportunity to at least look at it. But, I think it would be good for Mr. Pendle's normally there at our meetings and everything, but if all of you want to be there or whatever, to come in and say, you know, here's what we're doing to get us more in compliance with state statutes and everything, is what we're trying to accomplish.
We're not trying to reinvent.
You don't want to lose control completely, like.
And we don't want to put thumbscrews at something intention of the county.
We would like to be here if it's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
There may be questions. Larry liked to mention where that came from, and it wasn't that we were advocating.
Right.
No, this is just from the other stuff you've been using. We understand that kind of a framework, so we can go in and,
you know, that's your decision,
and filter that out.
You can take it from other documents.
Yeah, I just didn't want us to say, let's
take it.
Let's vote with this and go for it.
No.
It doesn't mean that we agree with it either.
And we're not telling you that's the way it needs to be.
Right.
We're saying this is information that other counties had. If it doesn't apply or in what Payne County wants,
And we really don't. I mean, you know that, Eddie. We're trying to get
compliance. That's why I've got a copy that's pretty marked up. As you can see, all my tags on everything, and just things I didn't think you would agree with. Some of it I like, but I don't think you'll agree with it.
Yeah.
But
part of our focus up to this point is in marrying these two counties with your existing.
Right.
Was to eliminate conflicts within the three documents.
Right.
So that as much as we can, we have a document that is sound, except for making the changes that you guys want to make.
So let's kind of walk through, in my mind, the next multiple steps here. We're going to get a the P&Z eventually will come back with a code book that they're going to recommend, okay? Then we're going to have to implement this within the county, and we're going to come up with conflicts like this. Is this a conflict, or we've got multiple?
Yes.
When do we address those, I guess?
Those, if we're, from what we had talked about before.
Right.
We are going to do an existing use zoning map.
Right.
And you can have multiple zonings on a parcel.
Okay.
It's not desirable, but you can have that. So something like this, where you have three different uses on one parcel, you may have three different zones.
Okay.
That's your call if you want to allow that.
Okay.
Or you could say this parcel is agricultural or commercial with non-conforming uses. Either way, if you want something like that that's fronting the highway to all be commercial with non-conforming uses, the uses that are there now.
What's the red again?
The red is commercial. Blue is residential. And greenish whatever is agricultural.
Okay.
So in this case, you have that top parcel, you have mostly commercial along the front. Up at the northeast corner of it, you have residential, and then a little strip of residential in the middle.
So part of the instruction was you were going to come back, if I'm not mistaken, and I've slept many times since then, you were going to overlay these districts onto the existing use of what we have.
Yes.
Yes. Now, see, Larry said our ultimate goal is to come up with an existing zoning map.
Right.
This is not an existing zoning map. This is an existing land use map without the designations that have not been agreed to yet applied.
Okay.
So if you have residential, none of those.
Yeah, the blue is residential.
See, all that is just residential. If you guys choose to have two or three types of residential,
right,
like single family.
Well, you've got four here. I mean, R1, R2, R3, and MH1.
Those blues will have to be determined, okay, which one of those residentials are they?
Right.
And that has not been done yet.
Sure.
So right now, this is existing land use without a breakdown of designations of types of use. Once you have chosen the breakdown that you want, then we will change this to conform so that that becomes an existing zoning
map.
This is an existing land use without breakdown of designation.
Okay, so you've got multiple maps yet to come.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can't make that all commercial. I mean, if it's currently being used as residential, you couldn't make that commercial. I suppose you could, but what you're going to do is you're going to put in a situation where you might have a subdivision, and if you make it commercial, somebody could come in next door to you in the subdivision and open up a business. And you don't want to do that, I don't think. And it may violate the covenants and restrictions, which we don't enforce, and we could do it despite that, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. You want to buffer the residential zones a little bit. Along the highways, it makes a lot of sense to make it all commercial unless there's residential there or plans for residential there, and then you might want to protect those residential areas. But absent that, it probably would make sense to make it all commercial.
Okay.
But, I mean, you got to take those things into consideration, I think,
right,
out of common sense.
And that's part of what I was understanding. This is, I mean, you guys have done some, I mean, you've done work, but you're getting ready to get really detailed work.
That's right. But we have to agree on what those are.
And that's the next step, which is P&Z.
Right.
Okay.
So any, let me get this down. Anything that's, just like you said, if it's along the highway, you want a commercial, is the taxation process affected?
I can find it for you. There's a statute that specifically says that zoning classification alone does not change the assessment. Actually, it's not. I mean, you could be using farmland as farmland, and your farmland, you're at 12%, not at 32% for commercial if you're using it as farmland just because it's zoned.
Commercial.
Now, if it's zoned commercial and you're using it, or maybe even if you're selling it as commercial, Maybe that would do it, but I don't think so. I think you actually have to be using it. And I'll show you the statute where it says that zoning alone does not make it a classification.
So make sure I'm going to restate what you just said. Even if we come back with a zoning map that says agriculture really needs to be, for example, on this, needs to be commercial, the assessor doesn't automatically convert it over to commercial. It is basically how they're using it is how it's...
He would assess it as agricultural, not as... Okay. There's all sorts of stuff that's zoned commercial that is used as agriculture and assessed as agriculture in other counties.
Gotcha.
So once you... But once you started to use it as a commercial business, it's not related to the agriculture. I mean, if you had a farm stand or something, that's not commercial. It's related. But if you have a huge store there or something, I suppose it could go commercial.
But even if we... Okay, so that's back down there. That was a good question. Go ahead. Do you have another one?
Yeah, I guess I have another one. As I look through this, this draft to be used for Tanya County would be tore all to pieces as far as I know what you've tried to do. The example I think is one that if this was to hit something like this was to hit the public, it would just be
it would be horrible. You'd may get a couple more phone calls.
No, but I'm just trying to understand that when you have your work session with the Planning and Zoning Board, is this kind of stuff going to hit the...
It's all public meetings. This is a public meeting. I think you're on the internet right now.
Yeah,
right?
I mean...
Everything we have here, but, anybody that wants to come and get a copy.
But the thing is this, though, Danny, with what you're saying is, we had to start somewhere that is a compliant code in the state. And then we can start taking out things that we don't need to be as specific with. But we had to start within the foundation of where we are now.
Okay, let me just go to where you're at then. What this draft is would tell me what would happen in downtown Springfield or Kansas City.
Yep.
Or
a large
town.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't have anything to really do with
Taney County.
Taney
yet.
County yet.
Nope.
This is just a compilation of some other
areas. This is legal. If we wanted to implement it, great, but what we want to do now is customize it to Taney County.
And let me just tell you that when you get into the areas around Branson, the areas around Hollister, the areas around Forsyth, you're going to have more zones and more different kinds of zones. You may have four different residential areas. You know, in this area, duplexes are allowed and apartment complexes are. In this area, it's just single-family homes, and there's different kind of residential, and there's different kinds of commercial. But once you get out into the more rural areas of out toward Pro Tem and Bradleyville, I mean, you may just have one district. I mean,
you may be all R1 and maybe agriculture.
I mean, it may all be the same thing, but... the closer you are to a densely populated area, the more likely you're going to have all these different categories.
I understand that. These override any city regulations?
Actually, they have nothing to do with city regulations. The city regulations are the city regulations. We cannot zone inside the city of Forsyth, Kirbyville, Branson, Hollister. However, we can do outside the city limits. Now,
okay, the question is, do they have to meet this standard?
No. No.
Okay. So we could have a situation, and I'm not trying to be difficult, I'm just trying to ask the logical questions. We could have a situation where we could zone heavily in the county and have, I can think of about three or four or five incorporated areas that you would leave a specific zoned area that you might be able to tell is zoned for this, this, and this, and drive into an incorporated area that would totally tear the look of what you're trying to do.
You do good things in the county and manage growth properly and make it a beautiful county where where, you know, there's not a lot of nuisances, there's not a lot of, I mean, everything looks good and it's well planned. And you drive right across the line into a small village that decides they don't want many rules at all. They could have subdivisions with cows and chickens and all kinds of, and commercial businesses right next door to residences.
Cows and chickens, what?
In a subdivision of 8,000 square feet, it might get a little close.
I guess, even though, I'm going to piggyback on that. We also, though, there's some parcels. I'm going to pick on Branson. I'll be pretty specific. There's a parcel and multiple parcels in Branson proper that are still county. Okay, and we know that along a certain street, they just need to be commercial. We know that, and if we would have zoned them commercial within our zoning, there would have alleviated some of the distress that was when that one developer came in here to do, a use change, or he got zoning, because does that make sense?
He would have just come in and say, "We said this is commercial,"
and we know it's going to be commercial.
Here's where I'm going with my question. I kind of circle around so you can kind of see where I'm headed. What about is it a 2 mile or is it a, what is the regulation that the city of Branson has on land use outside the city limits?
Okay. But I mean, there is a situation where counties and cities can enter into an intergovernmental agreement and allow the cities to enforce the county's regulations within a certain distance of the city's boundaries. You don't have to enter into that agreement. However, if you want to, if, you know, you're saying people that are 400, 500 feet from the city limits of Branson are eventually going to go into Branson, and they have some sort of stated interest in making sure that things go well there, they can enforce our regulations, not their regulations, but our regulations within a certain distance of the city limit. I think they're called territorial boundary agreements or whatever. So, I mean, you could do that. You don't have to do that.
We could do it adjacent properties. We could do a bunch of things.
We've already had a massive argument about this.
They're asking for stuff.
That's what I want to cover here. I don't want to think that we get...
The key is they're enforcing our requirements.
Not theirs, ours.
So we would have to set the requirements up for them to enforce. They can't just enforce their requirements unless we adopt them.
Right. And Danny is talking about, I think,
building codes, for instance.
The exclusive jurisdictional agreement, the discussion concerning that, and whether they have a right to turn people down or have the right to review the plans and tell them that they can't build a building. All they have to do is meet county requirements, not city requirements, and that agreement says that they have the right to review them. It doesn't say they have a right to turn them down. They can review it. They may want to annex that area if too many buildings are going up that, are inconsistent with their...
I'm just going through past experiences that we've had and trying to answer those questions that this might affect.
I think that in talking to the city of Branson, because I meet regularly with them, anything that we can do to help define districts better than we do now, they're in favor of. Right now I think our official districts is east and west. Is that correct? And so what they're saying is if we go, because I've shared with them are just the classifications, these classification districts, and they're very excited that we'd even do that because they're thinking, as well as everyone here, is as you get closer to the densely populated area, you're going to have more defined districts over there. And on the, in Pro Tem or Mincy or wherever, there may be two, residential and agricultural. And So, you know, from Branson, you know, they want us to enter into a big sweeping radius agreement.
They tried that 7 years ago. I think Debbie Duster, about four or five attorneys ago, asked if they could do enforcement. And I said, I don't think you can unless we actually have. They wanted to enforce building codes.
Right.
And I said, I don't think you can unless we have building codes. You cannot enforce something that we don't have. And she realized that I was correct. So Branson obviously has a concern about areas just outside of its city limits that are going to become a part of Branson, and Hollister and Branson are both going to grow. And we could say, look, you don't have any say-so unless you annex it. So why don't you just annex that area? But how far do they annex? If they annex and get all that in there, eventually the stuff just outside of there is going to come in.
Correct.
So you only want them to annex what it is they can control and what they can provide services for at the present time. But they may want to have growth consistent with what's in the city. At the very least, they'd like us to have some good rules, even if it's not their rules or anything
rules. This would be considered better than we have. They would, I mean, not this draft. I'm not talking about all the pages behind you. I'm just saying this, the classification gets them closer where they want us to get.
I'm just trying to answer the small question.
Oh, sure, question.
I know of about five or six circumstances that have taken place in the city of Branson,
mm-hmm,
that lay within
the county.
Well, they're in the county, but they're surrounded by the city.
Right.
That are problem areas for the city.
Mm-hmm.
That are going to be addressed, I guess,
through this. Well, and what we could do is in those areas, if we wanted their input, they've offered, if you didn't know, they've offered a lot of help if they're a PNC person, but if we wanted their advice or recommendations for those areas, how they would like us to see or zone those areas, we could hear their input. Joe, do you want to say something?
Yes, sir. But it sounds like this is talking about either rezoning to a use that's not being used or future land use planning for what it ought to be zoned. All we're really doing at this point is determining existing use,
right,
or zoning of existing use, is not changing anything.
That's and you can't point. Make it illegal what's currently being
right.
used because it's a prior non-conforming use and they're grandfathered in and they can do just exactly what they're doing right now. You might as well identify what they're doing right now and zone it that way, and that's exactly, I think, what
and
they're doing.
We hired Aegis to do existing use, not to rezone the county.
No, yeah, that's in phase five that you guys may never go to.
Right.
That, you know, where we go into what is the highest and best use for this land.
Right.
And designating that in, but not necessarily rezoning it, but
correct,
designating that this ought to be someday. That's not what we're doing.
Right.
And the purpose is to make us undebatably legal.
Right.
Rather than have to face litigation as Stone County did.
Right.
This has not got into a heated discussion, but is it getting hot in here?
It's hot, man. All I did is switch from air conditioning to heat, and I didn't touch the thermostat, and it got hot in here.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, you're getting hot under the collar.
No, I'm just trying to understand some of the things that goes along with this.
I'm glad Joe brought that up, because that's where we started. And
that's where we're going to stay focused to.
And there may be opportunities to veer off until we get that. I don't think we want to go anywhere.
You know, what is it existing, and which one of these groups can fit in and zone it that without changing it? So that's what our goal is, to get a zoning map of the county that is existing.
Mm-hmm. Joe, if you had a large area, and I'm going to use, I could use F Highway, or I could use a new road such as East to West Corridor, and you decided that you wanted to, if you did the East to West Corridor and you decided that certain areas along there were to be industrial or there's already plans laid out close there for, this has been approved by planning and zoning for residential areas that have been. So how do you change, and I guess you come before the board and they can change any zoning issue that would be brought, or you have a designated area on both sides of an east-west corridor that would be industrial, this and that, and then you already have pre-existing.
The way it's done in other places that we've worked with, you first establish the existing use zoning. And then if someone buys a piece of land, let's say they already own it, and let's say that it's zoned residential, and they want to rezone it commercial, they have to go to the Planning and Zoning Board and request that. Then the Planning and Zoning Board decides if that is a fair thing to do or not. How does that affect adjacent landowners? And public hearings are held where those adjacent landowners have an opportunity to come in and say, no, we don't want commercial next to us. And then the Zoning Board decides whether to grant that rezoning or not. And that's all in the ordinance.
But it's a legislative decision, so it also has to be passed on by the county commission as well. Otherwise, it's not effective.
And also, if in a case like you were talking, if you're putting in east-west corridor and you want certain areas zoned a certain way, the county can take the initiative to start that process. There's provisions for that in the ordinances that we included in the big thick document. Not this that I handed out today, but where the county can initiate it, but it still goes through the same process of the public hearings. So that lets you all not necessarily control it, but give it a little shove to be more what you envision it to be.
If that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But if an owner has it, or let's say a guy has a contract to buy it, if he can get it rezoned, then he still has to go through the process and see if that's approved by you guys. You may say, no, I don't want to change it to that. I want to leave it just like it is. You know, it's going to affect all these folks. We don't want to do that. And so you deny it. But what we're talking about doing with this is just existing, but setting up the procedure to change zoning should you all want to do it.
Any changes that you make, currently, you can use your property the way it's being used. It's a prior non-conforming use. Or if you've been approved by planning and zoning, you can use it. Otherwise, I mean, all you can use property for in this county, is a general statement, there's probably some exceptions, is that you can do agriculture, or you can do rural residential where you can put a house on 2 acres or more, and that's it. If you want to do anything more, a minor subdivision, you know, 6 lots, including the parent lot, you have to come into planning and zoning and get approval. Anything more than that, you probably even have to go through a Division 3 process where you have to ask the Planning and Zoning Board whether you can do it. That's basically a rezoning that you would do under this new process. It's exactly the same process, you know, with some exceptions perhaps in some of the details, but it's exactly what people have to do right now. But they have to do it right now if they want to do anything more than rural residential. Now, if you had these zones, people would know, I can do rural residential, I can actually do subdivisions if I meet the requirements. I can do lots of different things, but if I want to do something more, I have to come before the board and do exactly what I'd have to do right now. Of course, would be legal by also having you guys sign off on it because it is a legislative act. So really you're not changing things that people have to go through to get what they want that's a change. It is what it is, right? That's the way it is right now. But you wouldn't have to do it as often if you actually made these zones. Am I making sense? Or
wonderful,
yes,
sense.
Exactly.
So the next thing is just direct you guys to work with Eddie and start getting this thing to a document that we can then review.
And confirm that you all are comfortable with us using these designations when we go to
that's
PNZ.
Yes. I am. Chuck?
Okay. I may open a can here, but
that's fine.
In reading as I'm kind of listening, I'm looking at page 27, private swimming pool regulations.
Oh, that's a different deal. That's all he asked was this district. So are you happy with this district?
Okay. So all the stuff
behind it, the P&Z.
That's just stuff he's put in there when trying to define the area so you kind of understand what he's saying.
And that's
but it'll have to be customized for Taney County.
Okay, but I'm exactly where Chuck's at on this. As I read through this and we took this document and I read through this and I looked at the swimming pool and naturally I went to the cattle and all these things. I don't want this draft before you chew on it. I don't want the public to think that this is what this is going to be.
This is not a draft of what our planning and zoning regulations are going to be.
Nowhere.
Do you understand what I'm saying,
Joe? Yeah.
No, this is not something we're putting together.
No. No,
they just tried to give some definitions.
We have gone this is what a little this bit ahead of you like. To give you something to change.
And I think
this is based on what the other counties are doing, but today we're asking you to approve the designations. Then the definition of the designations, the details of the definition, will be going through later and changed. These definitions, as they're presented, are a compilation of other counties and how they have defined them. But you have to have something to start with, something that you don't like. You can say, I don't like this, I like this, I'd like to add this. In other words, you have to have something in front of you to look at. But we're not asking you to approve those right now, the definitions of the designation. We're asking you to approve or change the designations. And then Planning and Zoning can come back and say we want to change this detail here about what is in this designation and these restrictions in this designation. And then you guys, after they do it, say, well, I don't like this, or I think this ought to be changed to this. Those can be done later. But we just gave you something to work with, something to start with.
These are general ideas.
Yeah,
I don't think I got my question out. My question
I'm
is
sorry, then.
That we've got this. This is the front page.
Yes.
But this really doesn't say anything unless you have some kind of a definition to work from. Okay? So my question is when you're going to just take this one page to planning and zoning and say, here's our district?
No, they're going to take all the other pages and say, let's work on the definitions, planning and zoning, because that's your job.
Okay.
That's when the public is going to say, what?
At some point, you've got to work on definitions.
Exactly.
And that's what their job is.
And that's my question is, when does that happen?
Right.
P&Z.
And I think for public record, today you can say strictly you're considering section 103 on page 2 and none of any of the other information.
Actually, they're not approving anything today. What they're saying is the general idea sounds good. It's something that we won't necessarily shoot down when it comes back to us if it's in good form and go forward and talk to planning and zoning and do some more work is all they're saying. I don't think they're approving anything here today.
Right, but we're also saying that planning and zoning may not like these zone designations. They may say it's too many. They may say we need to add some.
They might.
You know, and then define them. But this is just the first shot at the designations and definitions.
As we get down the road, you've got these different classes. Then you're going to define the classes.
Yes.
And then you're going to go to the map that's talked about earlier, and you're going to say this piece of property
fits this one.
Is this class right here because of the definition.
Exactly. And then once all that's done and we go through public hearings, then you guys can zone the county by the existing use.
But mostly at this point, these classes are going to go to planning and zoning, and they're going to work on definitions, how they want these classes defined.
Yes.
Okay.
And, of course, anything they would do would come to you as a recommendation.
Right.
Because you would have to approve anything like that. And as they begin to do this, again, they may say, we don't need to rural residential classifications. And so you may have a few more. They may come up with something that, say, we really need to define this area here because of something we're seeing. I think we decided to try and do something with the PUD or something like that in there, which is something we don't even address in our code book at the present time. So
right now we have to do something. We can't just sit by. I mean, whatever we do.
That's why we're spending the money.
But yeah, this,
something to stay. To
we're
get
talking there. Becoming right. Undebatably legal. We're so similar to Christian and Stone, and Stone has been struck down as illegal. We're enough similar that we should worry about that and want to be undebatably legal in what we do.
And I think that that's the second or third time that's been said today,
exactly right.
And I think we need to keep saying it because that's exactly why we're starting there.
But
the other comment I got is, planning zoning's got a lot of work ahead. I mean, there's how many members? Eight members?
Nine
members.
And that's what I'm saying. To dump this on the Monday night.
We've got 3 points of view, and now we're going to 9 points of view, and it's a lot of work ahead, isn't there?
I mean, you could do a subgroup to come up with recommendations and then still vote before the planning and zoning. You could sort of pick three, if you wanted to make them as their group and then come back forth with the recommendations. It's however you want to do it.
Stone County has been going through this process.
Right. It's not
an
easy
process. It's a long time because we're all going to see things a little bit differently.
Exactly.
And we've also helped Stone County.
Okay.
And they came up with their own document, but we reviewed it for them and made recommendations.
Okay.
That would be very, very helpful to me if they've already went through a certain amount of the process. This is so extreme, Joe, to me, that the people that I represent, I'd be strapped with that cannon out there if this hits the papers or hits the news media as a document that might be considered. Jim, I don't know. See how you, I know you come from a different.
I don't understand why people. I understand, but it's very easy. You've got to start somewhere, and people are real quick to jump to conclusions. But you've got to start somewhere. This at least is somewhere.
Just a framework.
But let me.
I understand it's extreme, and yes, I saw the swimming pool once too, Chuck, and I was like, this is ridiculous. But guess what? We got to start somewhere, and I hope P&Z will pull that out or revise that, but. I mean, people are going to jump to conclusions. They did on the construction ordinance. So no matter what we try to do to preface them, it's going to get, we're going to get scrutinized.
You're not approving anything here today. You're not approving this draft in any way, shape, or form. This is not a draft approved by the county commission.
I understand that. I'm telling you that I think that if Joe and them have worked with Stone County, who already have this problem, and they have eliminated those boys that are facing this very same problems that we'll be facing.
Right.
Then instead of using an extreme example for a draft, I would like to see the things that they eliminated to start off with to make the changes before you have 10-foot highline wire over a swimming pool. Anybody with any common sense knows that you can't do something that stupid, no matter what the regulations are.
But it happens.
Well,
you know those pictures that I hate to bring up the name, but somebody
brought some pictures in here of all these wild things that were going on in the county, and we saw the pictures, and you would think nobody with any common sense would do any of these things. But if somebody does do that sort of thing and have the neighbors swimming in their pool and they get electrocuted, yeah, it's their fault, but wouldn't it be nice to say you can't do that? Even though, you know, don't poke yourself in the eye with a sharp stick. Well, if they're not, well, you know what I'm saying.
Don't run with scissors.
Let me say a little more about our involvement with Stone County. We were not retained by Stone County to do anything as an engineering firm. We volunteered to spend 3 or 4 hours going through what they had provided themselves to find such things as conflicts in the red. I'll just tell you, it turned out that in most of the zone designations, they allowed adult bookstores or something like this simply because they had a wrong paragraph designation in the text. It was an editing thing. We went through that as a service to them to try to help them. We didn't prepare it. We were not a part of the process to prepare it. And they are slowly going through it, trying to make amendments on their own. All we did was, I talked to Joy over there. I said, Joy, would you like us, because they really need help. I said, would you like us to take a look at this for you and just make recommendations of things? And we spent like a half a day and made big marks in the margin, gave it back to them. And I've called her a couple of times asking her if they would like us to come free gratis just to sit and explain what our comments were, and we've not even been asked to do that. So it's not as though we've been actively involved in theirs.
Okay.
If I can just say, he mentioned something, adult entertainment. Currently, it's illegal by our code to be within a certain distance of churches and schools with adult entertainment. By constitution, constitutionally, you cannot eliminate any possibility of adult entertainment coming into the county. But you can regulate where it goes. You certainly don't want it next to your schools or your churches. And currently, we make it illegal under our code. If our code is only debatably legal and can be beaten, do we really want a situation where we can't keep adult entertainment from setting up right between two churches?
Because what we could do is classify and say they can only reside within industrial.
Yeah.
Which is what they've got in here.
Right. What they've got in here. Right. That's how you control.
That's a perfect example of something that's reasonable.
Right.
I've seen, and I'm just going to lay it on the line here. I have seen our planning and zoning, and I respect those people that serve on there. But I've seen a situation come before planning and zoning here that pertain to a restaurant. And the question was asked by one of the planning and zoning members, are you going to serve alcohol in this restaurant? That was the big question. The restaurant sits next door to a liquor store, and they turned them, because they wasn't going to serve alcohol.
Right.
They went ahead and approved them, but that was the big question. But there's a liquor store right next door.
See, this would take care of that as well. And let me tell you why. You would have a district, you would have an area that is zoned the same way. So that unless it was a prior nonconforming use, say in a residential area, if you had a liquor store in a residential area and it was prior nonconforming use, then of course you wouldn't allow that next door to it because you don't want to spread that any more than it's already nonconforming. But if you take a prior existing use of a liquor store, you're going to zone around that liquor store the same kind of commercial that's there. So what you would allow would be similar type businesses by your map. And they wouldn't even have to come in and say, I want to do a liquor store next to this liquor store or a restaurant that serves drinks next to this liquor store. They would look at the map and it would say, I can already do that. All I have to do is come into planning and zoning and get permission to do that. So that would be taken care of if you do a good job with your map. That's one of the reasons why you would do this, so that you don't have all kinds of inconsistencies and do it on a case-by-case basis. When you do it on a case-by-case basis, you get different board members from time to time. You get different feelings, different people who are against it. But if you have consistency with your map, you have the same kinds of things going up in the same neighborhood so that you don't have those inconsistencies and those disparities and injustices to people that want to put in a restaurant right next to a liquor store.
I'd like to make a point. I think we've picked a good firm. Don't let it go to your heads now. One point that we were just talking about, when somebody read this and Danny strapped to the cannon and all that, I mean, that's just what happens with us. We see something in writing and we think, it's already done.
Right.
But the fellows we got working for us have got draft written on it, so stinking big and bold that you have to work a little bit to read the what's typed here. And so I think we need to be careful to remind folks, and I think that's my point is, this is great, that as we go forward with this, I mean, You've got to see that this is a draft, and folks know what a draft is.
We need to
remind people over and over.
We'll do it Monday.
They've given us a place to start, and we recognize that there's some things in here there's just no way we're going to agree with.
Right.
But please, remember, this is a draft. This is something they gave us to work, and plans on it's going to work on.
We may want to bring it Monday morning for press and say, the document's going to be out there. Please don't jump to conclusions. It's draft. We've got to start somewhere, and we try to get ahead of it versus the reactionary of responding to it. That's something I'd like to think about doing.
We might save that until, I think it's good to get it out there, we might save it until the commission.
I'd call it a working document or something like that.
Our board meets next time Monday night. And
this coming Monday?
Yeah.
My understanding that we probably want to give them this information.
Yeah, if the press is going to be there, then we'll be behind.
Sometimes they are and sometimes they're not.
Most of the time it's not.
Okay.
We don't have anything real controversial coming, so probably not. But, they'll know by then.
Yeah.
So, if it's something you want to mention, I don't think it can hurt, but, we all need to be in agreement with the words that we're going to use. This is a draft copy. It's only a framework. It's something that we're going to look at modifying and customizing for Taney County. And then after that, it goes through a series of public hearings and meetings in each township and everything like
that.
We're just
trying to get it to a point where it can go to a public hearing. And we can't even get that.
We don't have anything to present.
We have nothing. And so...
And also, it's open to the public. I think that's an important comment that needs to be made. Harry, it's your opportunity. I'm glad you're looking at it. Tell us what you like or you don't like. Part of the process.
And the main reason for using other existing ordinances in Missouri was to make sure that we were compliant to Missouri state law. And all of these details, they chose to do it. But you don't have to. It's what they did.
And we want to be undebatably legal.
Exactly right.
Otherwise, just scrap the whole system.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody's comments. I know Jim's got a 10 o'clock meeting he's going to try to make in Branson. Is there anything we have?
Something else.
Is there something else we need to cover?
We're not saying that it meets state law. We're assuming it does because it's enacted, but we're not attorneys.
But if it's not a challenge, it's not a challenge.
You don't have attorneys that can look at it?
No.
Do we, that'll give us time to get a t-shirt made up that says draft right across the front of it?
I wouldn't even call it a draft. There's no sense giving legal review to a working document.
No.
As long as it's in the right ballpark, you review it after you've got something a little bit more substantial.
I appreciate what you're trying to do. I understand what you're trying to do. We've had discussions about what you're trying to do, but I can tell you that it is so extreme that it is going to be hard to explain.
And we understand the people who live in your district aren't going to want, they're going to look at it as you all trying to control them. And that's not what's going on, and I think you understand that, but you know how they're going to look at it.
I don't have to worry about conversation when I walk into a convenience store or a restaurant or anywhere with
good, this is good.
This doctor.
I know how to get Danny off my back now.
but the thing you need to keep remembering and keep saying is that we're not talking about changing anything. As far as uses go, we're talking about trying to come up with a zoning map that shows what the existing use is.
And you don't have to go through anything different. Basically, you have to go through the process in order to get a change. All he's saying is let's recognize what's out there.
I'm all for that.
You've said that two or three times today.
I'm
applauding you.
I'm all for it.
It needs to be understood that. This change, although it will make us legal, which is all we're trying to do, won't change anything too much.
This defines it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll move on to something else. Administrative?
We've got administrative, and we also have wellness center, and I want to kind of talk about both those things. Under administrative, not related to the wellness center, during the remodel of downstairs IT department, we had thrown away all some cloth partition walls that were necessary to find some workspaces down there. And we've got the bid that Gary has signed off on and that Linda has conducted. It is to partition some spaces downstairs. The COLA cost is $1,094.22. That would replace what we did throw away that we couldn't salvage, clean, or keep. And just want permission. Linda's done the bidding. It's the same company that did some other stuff. I mean, it matches. It's everyone signed off on it.
When you say Linda's done the bidding, she's done phone bids.
She's done phone bids.
She doesn't have to do a mail-out bid.
Correct. It's under $4,500. It's just a phone bid. And she's done all the things she's normally done, but it is $1,094.22. And she'd like permission to move forward because Gary would like to designate their areas downstairs like they used to.
I approve. Do you think we need a motion? Or?
Don't
you? Yeah, I think we have to for expenditure
okay.
funds.
Then I move that we spend the $1,094.22 for. Well, actually, no, we don't have to because it'll be accounts payable.
Right.
We can just approve that. It's going to be that. We don't. She can go forward with placing the order, and then if it comes through accounts payable because we already know what it is, we can just approve that.
Okay. Sounds so do good. We have to make a motion for approval?
Not until we get the bill.
The intent is to approve.
The intent is to bill.
Okay.
Deborah, come back. We'll be nice for next time.
Yeah. All right, so that's that. I'll tell Linda that we can move forward. Next thing on Wellness Center, I wanted to kind of talk about that downstairs area and tell you what I've got, and then you may have to keep notes here so I can explain. During the demolition of downstairs, they tore out everything they had to tear out, and we left the space in just a cleaned-out demo area. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
In order to make it safe, and safe is relative, but safe is by, I would say, safety standards, we need to do a few things, irregardless if we do a wellness center or not. And let me tell you what we have to do. We have to finish shoring up the sprinkler system. Okay, they have to be finished up and then actually hooked back up. That price is $3,500. We've got that bidded out already. And not to exceed $3,500. We believe we can get it cheaper than that, but that's the number we've got right now. We have to fix the lighting. There is some exposed wires with some temporary construction lights dangling. And Phil said if we buy the right lighting, he can just attach it and be done legally. We have to finish the ductwork, pulling out the ductwork and capping off some things, putting some vents up that are just basically what we got to do to clean it up. Replacing a thermostat. We need to finish out an air handler that was exposed in Mike's old space and stuff like that. That totals up to $7,871. Just no matter what happens, we got to do that.
That includes the $3,500?
Yes. Yeah. So what I've come up with is a not to exceed $7,871 and all those things I just listed to, and all we need to do is tell Linda to move forward because she's doing the bidding and all that, but everything's underneath the mandatory bid amount. It's just a bunch of small items.
What about flooring, tile, or whatever?
Well, let's talk about that. The flooring tile did not get damaged in the construction, in the demo. All it needs is a good cleaning, which our crew can do. So we're going to do that. What this doesn't include, now, so are we in agreement just to get that?
We're in agreement on that, but there's other things that you haven't talked about.
Well, we'll talk about the next.
Before, I'm in agreement with one little question, uh-huh. And that is we've had lots of talks about energy saving
uh-huh.
and lighting. Any new lights we bought would be
energy efficient, the new light bulb,
okay.
and all that.
So we don't just buy the cheapest thing out there.
I got a question about that.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to see some of these things that don't match lights, lenses, things moved out of here, moved to a location like that where they do match.
Right.
Doesn't make any difference what they are, but at least they do match, and we don't have one here, one here, one here that
Well, we could probably do the few. The thing one is, we're still working on the energy grant that's going to replace all the lights.
Okay.
We're still working on those documents that we're real close to, waiting for the official grant to come out. But I can mention that to Phil anyway, to get, at least get this room, and we're getting closer to this room being done. Okay, Wellness Center. There's been discussion, I think everyone knows around, that we're trying to create a wellness center down. It's my desire, not you guys haven't, but we haven't voted, but my desire is to create a wellness center downstairs, which is also an exercise area. It's a space that we could use to encourage employee health. We could also have our first wellness fair down there, which I've talked to Don and Dixie about maybe having a wellness fair and really encouraging some things, you know, some healthy things, and talk to Tim Connell and Akers and Arnie, and we're, but anyway, to convert that to a wellness center, there's a few things that in research Nikki and Jillian have done, plus some personal experiences, we would need to change down there. One thing would be creating showers so that people, if they chose to work out before work or during lunch hour, which is what we would encourage them, there's a place for them to shower and change and have a space that built. There is a way to do that. It's going to cost $3,500, and what that would create is a male and a female shower separately with a changing room / locker room that people can change clothes, hang their clothes up. We've actually got lockers, extra lockers from the old sheriff that we can move into there, so people can actually lock their stuff into lockers, but it would be separated male and female. They wouldn't have to share the same showers. That would cost $3,500. The other thing that we would like to do, it's been the desire of women, is to create an aerobics or a Pilates area, which would require a little bit of special flooring, which is $800. And it's a foam mat that you can jump around on the tile floor down there and not hurt yourself and all that.
It wouldn't be limited to women, though.
No, it would not.
Okay.
Along with that, they would like to have, this is where we may get a little grief, and I'll just tell you, we'd like to get a TV for them to have, instead of having an instructor, they could play a DVD, and we would have our crews do a walled-out area. It's a 20x20 area with a TV mounted so that they could actually do the aerobics and all that. So I'm trying to think what else. That came up to $468 on the TV because the sewer department bought a TV. I told them they needed to buy a bigger
careful
one.
Careful what you say.
I told them to buy a bigger one, and they bought the cheaper one, and now they want to sell us that one.
For $468.
Right, because they want to go buy a bigger one.
You couldn't watch Fox News on it, could you? I mean, can we block that off?
Well, we can. There is an option for cable if we wanted to do with the cable system.
Just being funny.
I know.
But I try.
I know. It'd be $500 a year to get cable system, piggybacking off of the jail facility.
We should support our president and boycott Fox, I think. Don't you think?
That's no comment. I know I've been instructed not to use no comment lines on political.
Sorry.
So
keep going. You're doing great.
And then there's a lot of people have said we'll donate our equipment, but there's some equipment that I'd like to see if we couldn't purchase to get it started and on the used market, such as maybe a machine that everyone, you know, a big machine that people can use, a machine weights and a stair stepper and a treadmill, and that would be around $3,000 to $5,000, not at one time. I kind of want to see what people are going to donate, because there's a lot of people say we've got exercise equipment, we'll just bring it in, which is great. So I really think that before we start spending a lot of money on equipment, we could actually see what is out there. So that's the expenditures. I mean, the biggest expenditure is going to be that's specific to a wellness center is building the showers. And it's a one-time fee to buy a plumber. Now, I'll give you one scenario. We have a plumber that's an employee of the county that we can do it for nearly free if we wanted to. We've already coordinated that we could reduce that $3,500 to almost nothing. He happens to be an employee for Mr. Sue T. and I don't have the name in front of me, but...
let's discuss that at another time. I'm in favor of what you've presented.
Okay. So if that's all right, Danny, I mean, you're good with it too?
Yeah. There's one thing, there's two things that need to be discussed. Uh-huh. One is what equipment that's brought in needs to be approved or inspected by someone in the health field.
Okay.
For safety and all that, because of
better upper quality equipment.
And then,
that's great.
And then maintenance on that equipment. I was at Skaggs Health Center over there, and they basically had someone around there all the time working on something.
Okay.
So they're going to have somebody that knows a little bit, and I'm sure
I'm
Phil or somebody.
Phil or Glenn or somebody can get in that rotation then.
Yeah.
We might want to be cautious of buying equipment that has to have another person there, things like that.
Right. And not a lot of free weights. I'm encouraging the machine, maybe some dumbbells just because that's a one person, but free weights with benches and all that. Mm-hmm. All right, if you're good with that, gentlemen, then I'm going to instruct Linda to start moving forward on just the ducting, the lighting, and moving forward.
That has to be done anyway. So
that has to be done for so.
We have, for your information, over the years, we've spent money with Roark, and we've looked at other facilities, and the employees, it's a good thing. The employees that use it appreciate it, and health-wise and all that jazz, and makes them better workers.
I mean, I think money well spent
is my bottom line.
I think my comments earlier, maybe it wasn't recorded, was this really wants to be available for anybody on our health plan. So if it's families of, you know, we just got to talk about we need to make sure legally we can do that. But my hope is if the county is picking up the insurance policy for the entire family, or, you know, that affects our policy.
Reduce our experience, our health, and therefore what we're going to be paying in premiums.
Right. So that's where I'm, you know, ultimately going to go, is not just initially just the employees, and then we'll expand it from there.
We can establish some policies that you don't wear certain kind of tennis shoes, and I'm being silly again, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
There's some policies that we ought to have.
And yes, I agree. So, all right, that's it, and I give 2 minutes to spare.
Wow. Jim, did you have something, Brother Jim?
No.
Oh, I thought Oh, he's waving at Helen. Oh, hi, Helen. You're hiding back here. You got something?
Nothing public. So, we're done. Can I have a recess?
Let's recess until
we're done.
Monday, I guess.
Yeah.
Woo! An emergency happens.
We won't be...